Let's just turn to our Bibles again. Read the first three verses. I had intended when I was studying this chapter to look more so at the end of these verses I was preaching on. But there's so much in the first two verses, I couldn't really go any farther. So we'll look at read the first three verses together. Actually, read the first four verses together, and then we'll unite our hearts before God in prayer. And the Lord said unto Samuel, that's in 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the teaching, Lord, that thou hast in the word. We thank thee, Lord, that we can, Lord, we read the word as we study the word, that we can, Lord, have a word in season for thee, from thee. Thank thee for the singing, Lord, of me. Thank thee for this congregation. Bless us now as we continue on in this meeting, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The children of Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be like the people of the world. They wanted to be like those other countries that were around about them. There was a man called Saul who was chosen, a man who stood head and shoulders above all those others in the crowd. He was, as it were, a handsome man, a man with good looks and good stature. You can read that in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 2. We'll not turn to it now, but you can read it yourselves. And they said, he will do as our king. We will let Saul reign over us as our king in Israel. At the beginning of Saul's reign, Saul did good things, and he showed direction as he was to do as a king. We find that in Saul's life, a change occurs. Soon the direction that Saul is going in is not the direction which God desires for him to go upon. Saul does evil in the sight of the Lord, and God rejects Saul as king of his people. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 26, we'll find this before us. It says in verse 26, and Samuel said unto the Lord, or Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And verse 28 gives us a great picture. It says, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent this kingdom from Israel, rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbour of thine that is better than thou. Picture we have before us. And those end few sentences in that verse 28 shows us that God is rejecting Saul as king. And God is going to call someone else who is better than Saul to be king. And as we come to chapter 16, we find that as God had done on many, many other occasions, as he previously done, he speaks to his servant Samuel. And Samuel has been sent by God as his messenger. For God is seeking Samuel to abide in his word. Going into the people, getting God's man, whom God is telling him to go to. King not of man's choosing, but of God's choosing. A young boy, we all know him as David. He was but a shepherd boy, unnoticed by his family. If you read verse 11, you'll find he was unnoticed. I thought as we were reading in verse 10, by the way, in the reading tonight, this morning, it does say, and again Jesse. It meant that after going through all the children, Jesse again sent all the children through him again to try and get, but he still forgot David. But in time, even though he was unnoticeable, in time we find David became an extraordinary man, being mightily used of God. You and I this morning could be mightily used of God. You and I could do all great things for God if you and I would only trust God. This morning I do want to look just at the first few verses of this chapter. And I want to ask a question this morning. And if you're a believer in the meeting this morning, I want you to be encouraged as we look at this portion of Scripture. As we look at it, we see God. And we see what we have. And if you're unsaved, you should be encouraged that you can have the work of God done in your life. You can have God in all these things that we're going to see in this passage. I want to ask the question to you this morning as we look at this chapter 16. Why should we seek God? Why should we seek God? Why, as you as a believer this morning, should seek after God? Why, as you as an unsaved person this morning, should desire to seek after God? And we'll find it here in the verse number 1 as we look at it. The first reason I have considered is because He guides us in times of trials. Why should we seek after God? For He guides us in times of trials. Look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. Verse 2, we'll read it together. And Samuel said, How can I go? Saul heareth, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. It is more a probability in this meeting this morning that each and every one of us gathered together have gone through periods in our lives which have been trials. Periods in our lives which we have had troubles. And they have been evident in, I would say, everybody's life, that is, including my own in this congregation this morning. For people go through many types of trials. And there's not one person who is immune from a trial. There is such a trial as death hits a home. Death hits the very heart of a home. What a trial that is when it's heartbreaking news when it happens. It breaks the heart. Someone is taken from us. It's a trial. Death comes to us all. It is a trial. There's other such trials as there is trials of hardship financially. There's those trials that we go through. There's also the trials of such things as alcohol or drugs in a home. And those things hits a home, what a trial it is. What a trial there be. It's an effect that affects everybody in that home. There's also the trials of pain, trials of hurt, trials of loneliness. These are situations that affect everybody that's in this meeting. Not only in this meeting, but others that are gathered outside of this place. They go through these trials as well. But as I said, we said at the beginning that Christ ever goes with us because He would guide us in our trials. If you're a believer in the meeting, then you can say, well, even though I'm going through those trials, that I have one whom goes with me. I have that guiding friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom goes with me in my time of need. And Samuel, as we read this passage, had such a friend. Samuel had a close relationship with God. He needed to seek God, and he needed God right beside him, and we find that God is with him. But yet we find that Samuel is going through a trial. Samuel's in the trial of mourning. It says in the beginning of verse number 1, the second line, it says, The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel has gone through a trial. He liked Saul. He liked Saul as a king, but God found him disappointing and God found disappointing qualities in the life of Saul. Saul had to face tough difficulties, and those in authority do have to face tough difficulties. Saul knew what God had to say to him. He knew what God's will was, but he was disobedient to God, and Saul did not do as God required of him. Not just once, but many times. We're not going into it because of time this morning. But basically, whenever times got really tough for Saul, Saul focused on everything else except for pleasing God. And as a result, God rejected Saul as king. Samuel, as we said, knows what it was to have a trial. He's in mourning. This king that has been set before, and Samuel anointed men in that chapter 9 past there. We find here as he anointed him, and as Samuel thinks on Saul, and he thinks of him being here turned away by God, and God rejecting him, he mourns. He is cast down. He is going through a trial, not just amongst the people, but within himself. And this is when God steps into his life, and God says, Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? What he's saying to Samuel here this morning, he says, I can see your mourning. I know your mourning. I know that it feels as if it is like a bereavement. By the Lord God Almighty. He says, I have another way. Another way of my choosing. And I want to encourage you, Saul, or Samuel. I want to take you on the road to anoint him. He's saying, Samuel, don't be discouraged. Don't get in that place where you're so far down in discouragement. He's saying, Samuel, don't be disheartened. Don't dwell on this matter for long periods at a time. For when you're dwelling on it, and you're dwelling on it, and you're dwelling on it again, you find it is drawing you down. And you're going into much despair. But he says, Samuel, come with me. I want you to travel on a journey with me to Bethlehem. He says, you know, a new king lives there. I want you to come and anoint him. You know what the difference maybe with Samuel is that is with us? Samuel was in tune with God. Samuel was a man in tune with God. I'm not just saying that to you, that's I don't say you. I say us or we, because that includes me as well. But Samuel was really in tune with God. He knew God because he had a relationship with God. And we find that God, whenever Samuel went into the times of trial, that God is guiding Samuel into a new chapter of his life. Unbeliever, in this meeting this morning, as we gather together, God sees your difficulties. God sees all the trials that you're going through. He knows and he cares, and he's seeking to deliver you from those trials. Will you let him? Will you let him? He wants to deliver you from them. And what you don't realize is, possibly at this point in our passage, in chapter 16, verse 1, Samuel doesn't really realize that also. Is that behind the scenes, God is. Behind the scenes, God is working all things well. And even as you consider this day that we're here in this congregation this morning, before we even got to this congregation, this meeting house this morning, that God, even before this day came into existence, had today in mind. Even before you went through that trial, even before you came to this meeting this morning, that God had you in mind. Even before you went into that trial, God knows exactly how that he's going to take you out of it. And God knows exactly. Be encouraged this morning. For even though you're in a trial, even though there's something that is there, you know that they have the guiding hand of God, but you know that God knows what's best for us. And God will take us out of the trial and lead us through it. Do we trust him? We need to have faith in God. Counting on him, for he knows what tomorrow brings. We don't. So often say that tomorrow never comes. It's true. And I was speaking to an unsaved person the other day, and they were confidently saying that, you know, we don't know what happens tomorrow. It could be a big change. Confidently saying they don't know, yet they don't know Christ. But Christ, but we know that here, that if we trust him, that he is with us, and we need to trust him. We need to have faith in him, counting on him, for he knows best, as we said. He is unchangeable, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, in the verse 8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It doesn't say that he's going to hold back from one day. He's going to stop during a trial. One day he's going to say, well, okay, I'll not bother holding on to you this day. He's saying, if you're a believer in the meeting this morning, he's saying to you here, if you're going through that trial, I'm going to be at the end the same as I was yesterday. If you knew my guidance yesterday in that trial, you're going to know it again today. Sadly, if you're not saved, you cannot know that. You don't know what it is to have Christ alongside you as you go through that trial. Do you know what trials do? Trials bring unexpected things to us. It alters our life. And our lives get oftentimes, we get unexpectedly altered. But if we seek God, He says, I will guide you. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 65, I want to read with you. In the verse number 24, it says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And if you believe in God, seeking God for your guidance and seeking God for His guiding hand upon you, God says, before you even utter a word to me, before you utter a word to me, I'm involved in bringing to pass all the things which I've planned for you in your life. And God knows exactly what He is doing. And God knows how to guide you through it because He is the great guide. And God says here to Samuel, in this passage, He's saying to Samuel, He said, Samuel, I know the trial you're going through. I know that you're mourning. He says, but in verse 1, He's telling him to lean on Him. He says, Samuel, lean on me. If you lean on me, He says, I will guide you. He says, Saul's been rejected. He says, go to Bethlehem. And at the end of that chapter, 16 verse 1, it says, for I will provide, if I provided a king amongst his sons, he's talking about Jesse's sons. And that word provided, if you look into it in more detail, if you check up the Hebrew in it, that means seen. I'm not saying I'm a Hebrew scholar, I haven't started Hebrew yet. I'm trying to learn bits and pieces of it at home. Although a minister told me the other day, it's harder whenever you're at home yourself, you need more guidance. Just exactly what I'm trying to say. You need guidance from God, we need God to guide us. But it means the word seen. And if you look at that word, those words again, it says, for I have seen a king among his sons. What God is saying is, I've looked upon David. I've looked into the family circle of Jesse. And I have seen somebody over there. And I've seen someone in that family that has kingly qualities. Qualities which I feel that I can use. And he's seen, he didn't just provide, he said provide and as if someone say I plucked him out from somewhere else, but he says I have seen him. Imagine God looks upon our lives. Imagine God looks upon your life and God can see everything. God knows that God can see everything in your life. He sees everything in my life. But imagine Him looking and He says, I can see. He can see the qualities which you have. And God sees the qualities. God sees your feelings. But God sees the qualities and God can guide you through. God can guide you and lead you all in those qualities which He has given you. And He has seen this young man. He says, that gives Samuel a snippet of it. He says, and I want to encourage you. So I've seen him, provided him. And that's not just any old message, it's a definite message to encourage Samuel. See, the children of Israel, as we said at the beginning, wanted to be like the world. They wanted a king just like anybody else. No matter what the cost would be, they said, well, we just want to have a king. But when the world is let in, that eventually there's consequences to the world. We know, as congregations, we know as people of God, once the world begins to get in, once the world and the worldliness starts to get in, then there is consequences that have to follow. And you know what to be true, just like I do. For men and women love their sins, prayed and permitted. They love their worldliness. They love the world things that are apart there, but they do not love the consequences thereof. Samuel gives a definite message to Saul. Or God gives a definite message to Samuel. And God says, these people choose a man. They choose a man of the world. They choose a man. But Samuel, I seek to encourage you this morning. He says, go to the one whom I have chosen, and I will make a mighty king of Israel. And he says, Samuel, go and anoint. And this we note, that if we let God guide us instead of just relying on ourselves, we will see God being over us and ever with us in our times of trials, being our ever-present guide. Isn't that what we need? God is our ever-present guide. I know I need it in Bible college. God is my ever-present guide. Us being a disciple. And I was just thinking on the word disciple there. What is a disciple? What is the qualifications of a disciple? It's not just something that came into my mind that one has mentioned. The qualification of a disciple this morning is someone who follows after God. If you're following after God, if you're a disciple of God, that's what your qualification is, that you're following after God. So seek God. and seek after God, and He will guide you in times of trial. He will be ever with you. There's a second reason we should seek after God, because He guards us in our testing. Look at verse 1b and 2. Start there in the second part, after the question marks are reigning over Israel. It says, "Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king of Israel." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If the Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee. Say, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord." The Bible says in John 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And if God has directed you, and God has guided you, and brought you into His work, if God is guiding you in maybe a certain direction, we must surely be encouraged this morning, being aware that even in God's guiding, God will also guard you. But you know what our problem is, and we do get, this thought becomes a problem in everybody's life, that our faith begins to waver. Our faith begins to fluctuate in many times. And Samuel was no different today. For God calls him and tests him, and He is asking him to do work for Him and to do something for Him. There at the end of that chapter, 16 verse 1. And God tells Samuel what he must do, and we find his human nature kicks in at the beginning of verse 2. It says, "And Samuel said, how can I go? How can I go?" It wasn't that he distrusts God. It wasn't that he distrusts the word of God or the call of God. It wasn't that he hadn't seen the blessings of God and proved God on many occasions in his life. And we too can say the same. We know that God has given us blessings and He's took us through those trials in other times. But when we come to another time of testing, we come to another time of trial, it affects us again. And Samuel was no different. And this affected Samuel, and it was very evident in his life as it is in us. This thing. What is it? Fear. Fear hits us, and fear hits Samuel. You come to the time of testing, the fear of man, the Bible says, bringeth a snare. And we find here that Samuel feared the man. We often, like Samuel here, and Samuel is as if saying, "Lord, hold back a minute." We often say, "God, hold back a minute. I know that You'll guide, I know that You're going to guard, I know You're going with me, but Samuel said, how can I go?" And you and I both say these words. If God says to you in time of testing, our time of calling in our lives, and God says to us, and He says, "Well, I want you to go. I want you to do something. I'm going to guard you, I'm going to guide you, but I want you to go." And we say to God, "How can I go? How can we go? How can we?" We hear the call of God calling us, testing us. We say in principle that we will obey God. We say, I will obey God, but it is as if the very moment when we get off our knees in prayer and seeking God, that we turn around and say, "Oh, what did I just say? What did I just say that I would go and do?" You say, "God, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I don't mean I'll go." Instead of trusting God, instead of trusting God that God will work all things out, we just say these words, "How am I going to do these things? How am I going to do it?" And the problem there in that sentence is we have the I. It is the way, "How am I going to do it?" And we begin to panic, and panic begins to strike upon us, and we become panic stricken. We become scared, and our eyes look upon the world, and our eyes look upon the worldly things instead of looking to God. Samuel's scared. Panic sets in. He knows the wickedness of Saul. And his time of trial, his time of testing, and his time of trouble, he feared. Humanly, he was right to fear. After all, the things that you read about Saul. But if God guides, and God says He's going to keep and call, and He will guard, whenever these times are testing our eyes, He's saying to Simon, He's saying to us this morning, He says, "I'm going to equip you for the work ahead. I'm going to equip you." We get fearful, but don't we? We get fearful. Fear strikes us, but we have a faithful God. Know that. We have a faithful God. And if we only but trust Christ, we trust our God and His call and work, we will find Him guarding and keeping us. And if we are faithful, God will supply all our circumstances and facilitate the execution of His command. There is verses, we're not turning to them now, but in Psalm 105 verse 2 to 5, you read them there together yourselves. But it talks there of how God will work in all things for us. But here we find in this chapter 16, so Simon said, "How can I go? And if Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." See, God was aware of his problem. And we find that Samuel has a pearl. And God was aware of Samuel's problem. And he is aware of Samuel's fear towards Saul. And he says to Samuel, this old servant of God, and he says, go. And in verse 2, go on. He says, and take a heifer. Tell Samuel to take a heifer and sacrifice unto God in that area. And there we find the remedy to Samuel's pearl. Circumstances are met. Verse 3 says, "And call upon Jesse and sacrifice, and show thee to what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me whom I will call thee." The circumstances were met. When you call on Jesse, he says, "Take a heifer and call on Jesse and the future king's father, and then you will look in awe of what I shall do." And God's saying to Samuel here, "Follow me, and I will lead you. Obey. And I'm telling you exactly what to do. All you have to do." That's an old children's song, isn't it? Of course, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And that is God was saying to Samuel and saying to us, he says, follow. Do you remember this morning why God was calling Samuel to Bethlehem? Because there was a king. He's wanting to encourage him. And what he was going to do, Samuel was going to anoint God's man. And what God is doing here is God is saying to Samuel, I know you're going through trials. I know you're going through testing. I know you're going through times of trouble. But he says, I'm going to give you a step-by-step guide to where I want to take you over to the other side. I want to encourage you over the other end. I want you to lead you to the other side, that you're going to be encouraged when you get there. What you're going to find there is someone after my own heart. Verse 7 tells you that. And we often do find ourselves, we can't go with God unless we truly trust Him. We trust God that God would guide us through that trial. And Samuel knew exactly what God was saying, and Samuel did exactly what God said to do. Verse 4 tells you, it says, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake." He went and done as God commanded him. And when he got and did what God, and he got through the trial, he got through the testing, what did Samuel find? He found a little gem. He found a little blessing on the other side. Verse 11 tells us that God told him to anoint David, a little shepherd boy. He was rugged. But God called him, and they seen the blessing over the other side. And David did not become king immediately. Sometimes we think, well, whenever I go through all those testings and come out the other side, I want to see a great work done immediately. God doesn't always give us that thing immediately. David had a waited period of time. But in end time, it says that God worked all things well. But are you seeking God this morning? Are we submissive to His will? Have you a heart for God? I'm not going to go into the rest of the chapter this morning, but if you're going to be a people of God, no matter who you are in this meeting this morning, if you're going to be a person for God, if you're going to be one that is after God's own heart, then you need to build your lives around the Word of God. Your life needs to be built around the Word of God and what God has to say. And we need to obey Him, even though that the situation and the road around us and the road ahead of us looks very difficult. But God tells us here that even in trials, even in troubles, even in testing, He shall guide us and He shall guard us in every situation and take us through it. And by going through the other end of that difficult pathway, He says we shall grow a little more. It's great to grow in the work of the Lord. He says when we get through, we'll grow a little more. But our job is to obey God. And our job is to have fellowship with Christ. And we look at the life of David. We're not going into it, but David was not the man that people would have chose to be a servant of God. David is not the man that people would have chose to be a king. He's not by worldly standards. And the world thinks a Christian needs to be this and needs to be that and needs to be the other thing. Or maybe the world thinks he shouldn't be a Christian at all. The Bible tells us different. The Bible tells us that David was a man whom God called. God didn't look as the world seen. God looked upon the inside. It says God looked upon the heart. And this morning, God looks upon your heart. God knows if you're a believer. God knows if you're not saved. God knows if you're right before Him, because God looks upon the heart. If we seek God, we will find that God knows exactly where He will lead us. And He will be our guide. See, He sees our hearts and He sees our lives. And He sees what we are doing. He sees what we're willing to do for Him. And we find that God sees all things. And Samuel, when he went through this testing, be encouraged that Samuel, when he went through the testing, find that when Samuel seen the blessing, we find he was sold out for God. He was sold out for God and he saw work done. And I want to encourage you in this meeting this morning. I want you to be encouraged to seek after God. As I said, as I began the meeting, I recommend God to each and every one of you in this meeting. He is a friend. It's often said He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, let's go a little further. Because maybe the girls feel left out. He's closer than any other family member you have. He's closer than anyone, and he wants to stick close to you. He wants to be at your very elbow, be your very guide in every footstep. He wants to guard you, but will you not let Him? Will you trust in Him this morning? You know you go through times of trials. He says He'll guide you. You through times of testing. He says, I will guard you and I will keep you. He says, here, you through those perilous times, I'll bring forth and I'll tell you. I'll bring things to your mind and I'll bring things forth. Like He did with Samuel, He presented a heifer. Saul, He says, would have killed him. But God provided. And God can provide for you. And I want to ask you this morning a question that we began this message with. Are you seeking after God? Are you seeking after God? I'm not asking you to stick your hand up and tell me, or stand up and announce. But you know in your own heart. You can answer the question this morning upon your own mind and heart. And you say, you can either say, yes, I'm seeking after God. And if you're not, and you can't answer that question. If you answer it and say you are, and you're being untruthful. I just do pray that it would be that you would come and say, you could say this morning as we gather, we could say, well, I looked at this passage. I look at these first two verses and they see all these things that are in these first. And we see that God is a guide, and I would love that guide. I would love that one to guard me. I'd love that one to be near to me. And if that is the case this morning, I pray that you would get right before God. I said, I recommend Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And may this be the day when you see a work done in your life, and may you encourage the congregation that you get saved as well. People of God, go forward with God. Go on with God and serve Him. You know how good He has been in your life. Are you like you first were when you first got saved? Are you going through maybe a trial or a temptation or trouble or testings? Trust in Him. He says He will guide and keep you and draw you through. Let's just pray this morning. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this meeting this morning. We thank Thee for all that is gathered in. We thank Thee for the word that has been read. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless the preaching of the gospel that has been preached. Lord, help me to look to Thee always, even when trial and testing comes. Lord, we pray that Thou would be our guide and guard. We would know that Thou art closer than any family or friend. O God, undertake for us and bless us. Take us to our homes in safety this morning, Lord, and bless us in our time of feasting at home, Lord. We pray that Thou would draw each and every one that is gathering, even others as well, into the service this evening. As you bring forth the message of the gospel, bless us, we pray Thee. Continue with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.